1:06, choir. Please return to the choir. Good morning, Tabernacle of Praise.
Good morning,
Saints of the Living God. We are so happy that you've decided to worship with us here at the Tabernacle of Praise, where God means everything to us. We're going to ask everyone if you would please stand as we sing Sabbath Rest to those of you that are watching online. We thank you so much for joining in with us this morning. Our work aside,
we set our work aside,
and we leave our cares
behind. On this day of Sabbath,
yes, God, on this your holy day,
on this your holy day,
how we come to give you praise.
Father God, Lord, we are so grateful, so thankful, so cared for. And we ask, Lord, that as we have come on this blessed Sabbath day, that truly, Lord, we will be blessed. And that, Lord, we will find peace, joy, and harmony with thee. We invite thy spirit to dwell with us and to teach, lead, and direct our paths. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. And for his name's sake, we pray. Amen. Amen. Invite you to repeat with me and or read with me Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11. Our invocation. Let us read or recite together. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day in the hallowed. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God.
Lord, a hand praise this morning. The Bible says, make a joyful shout unto the Lord, tabernacle of praise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So come into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And be grateful unto him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. I said, for the Lord is good. He woke you up this morning. The Lord is good. He gave breath in your body. That's why the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord this morning. On behalf of our pastor, Jonathan B. Fields, and our First Lady, Melanie Fields, we want to just give you a warm tabernacle of praise. Welcome this morning. Amen. Amen. You may have been on the bottom all during the week, but you made it to the top. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen. And we are here to praise the Lord. It's called tabernacle of praise for a reason. We don't believe in just coming here and just sitting here like a bump on the log, but God has been too good to us. Amen. You may be hurting, you may be feeling some kind of way, but it's time to praise the Lord. Amen. Is anyone visiting with us for the first time this Sabbath? Amen, amen. But we just want to invite everybody and just give yourselves a big hand praise for coming out today to this worship experience. You may be seated. We just want to thank the family of Dewan, Anthony Owens. We'd like to thank Tabernacle Praise family. We funeralized him on yesterday right here in a beautiful service. And so they just want to thank the Tabernacle Praise family for all the prayers and love that was shown to them. Sister Jan Gray wants to thank the brethren for helping her last week when the car broke down. She's very thankful. Amen. Just want to keep her lifted up. She's recovering. Suffering with COVID right now. How many of you feel the atmosphere is a little nice and comfortable? It's been comfortable every Sabbath, amen? But many of you don't realize that our air conditioner, one of our main air conditioners, has been down for over a month. And the oldest air conditioner that should have been gone has been on life support for years, is still going, and the Lord worked a miracle. He kept that thing going through not 70, 80, 90, but 100 degree weather. And some of you all was bringing blankets to church. So you all were experiencing a miracle right then. But praise the Lord, Brother Darius, Brother Darius Hitchings, HVAC man, put that 5-ton unit in there. Amen. We could run you out of here if we wanted to. Amen. We could turn the dial and it will respond to whatever we put it on. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we want you all to continue to be faithful in your tithe and givings, because it takes money to keep things going. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow, Brother Rackley wants to meet with the brethren here at the church at 11 o'clock. Amen. We want to keep God's church nice and neat and clean. Amen. And so we want the brethren to come on out at 11 o'clock if you can. Amen. We're having a big baptism next Sabbath. Come on, amen, lights. I said a big baptism next Sabbath, amen. And so we want you all to be excited and pray for our baptismal candidates. Monday is going to be our board meeting, our monthly board meeting. And we want all the board members to faithfully, as they always do, attend that meeting. And also on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, we're resuming our power hour. And we're studying out of the book, Last Day Events. How many of you believe we're in the last days? We're seeing events happening all around us. I don't know what's going to happen in this next election. I know what should happen, but I don't know what's going to happen. The only person knows is God. So we know that God is still in control, whatever happens. We know God is in control. Amen. God puts up kings and he sets them down. Amen. And we can have comfort in knowing that. And so we're studying out of chapter 9, Satan's challenge to God's authority. You know, Satan always wants to challenge God. But we know God's authority is not weak. Amen. It's not amended by man or Satan. Amen. So we just want to encourage you to tune in on this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Amen. At this time, let us continue in our worship service. Let's stand as we praise the Lord this morning.
I've been singing, hallelujah, I've been singing. you, Jesus. I've been singing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. I've been singing.
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you. I've been singing.
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you.
I've been singing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All day.
All day.
Come on, everybody. Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
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 Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I love you.
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 Since God
woke me up this morning, I've been giving him the praise.
Well,
I've been singing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.
Amen. That is a blessing. To know that you are so connected with God, you just want to worship him in the beauty of his holiness. And my Bible tells us when we're connecting with God's spirit and we're making our effort first, the Lord hears the cry of his people. That means that when you are intentional with God, God moves in heaven. So there are certain concerns, there are certain cares, and there are certain things you are like for God to move on in your life, right? So this is the opportunity, and this is the moment that we are going to connect with God in a special way through prayer so that the movement of God in heaven can take place in our lives. Are you with me? If that's your desire today, I'd ask you to just come on up with me. I'm asking you to connect with me. And we are going to ask God for something special. Today, the whole church united prayer today. Our whole united prayer as a church today is to ask God for a special moment with him. Oh, somebody should say amen. A special moment with God. And what that means is, whatever your special moment is, we ask that you humbly ask him to participate in investing in a moment with you. Is that all right? Remember, we all have special concerns and we have special needs. And only our Creator can give that to us. Amen. So now we are about to enter into the throne room of God. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Spirit of the living God. We find it a privilege for a time such as this, where the world is operating in unbelief. And they are doing things out of the necessity of being saved. God, have mercy on the world you created. And now here we are, your children, connecting with you in a special prayer request. First of all, we want to request that our sins be forgiven, because they are ever before us. And you know, as long as we have this tempter and this arch deceiver still in existence, we may fail moment by moment, but we are grateful and thankful for your amazing grace. So now, God, we just ask that you will remember us as a whole, as we unite in fellowship with you, saying that we need a special moment with you like never before in our lives. This special moment may come
cause us to plead on behalf of our loved ones. Someone who are not saved, someone who is struggling, someone who have issues, someone who have challenges just like us, someone who you may need to give a special visitation to. So with that, God, we just ask you to fall afresh upon us. Lord, we ask that you give us a special moment in this time in our life with you to encourage us, to empower us, to deliver us. But most of all, God, save us. Save us from our enemy who's trying to separate us from you. Our goal is to be with you forever and to be with you in heaven so we can lift holy hands saying, our God has saved us. And God, we ask for a special moment of power from you. Because God, we can't save ourselves. Lord, many times we ask for earthly things and you know we need it to survive. But God, we need some heavenly things that will help us stay fitted for your kingdom. So give us the spirit of the living God. Ask that you give us our patience. Give us loving hearts, oh God. Give us humble hearts, oh God. Give us, Lord, forgiving hearts, oh God. Give us the things that Jesus has and possess. Allow us to have those things so we can be identified as one of your children's. So, Lord, you know we can call out names. You know Antoine needs your helping hand. You know Jan Gray needs a healing from COVID. You know Elaine and her family is in need of a miracle. You know all of us around this circle need the presence of God in our life. It's nothing that we can ask that you don't already know what we need, but we're asking it anyway. Because we want to receive a special blessing. Lord, we have Carlos and Angela. They have been pleading and they have been wondering. They have been concerned. But you have the answer. So we ask you to do what is necessary on their behalf. You know what that means, God. And there's others out there who's in the audience and around this circle, oh God, who really truly need you to have a special visitation with them. We're praying for a special moment with you so we can be a witness to give somebody a praise report that God is not only real, but God is available for them as well. Remember our pastor. Remember his family. We ask the task that and assignment that you have given him for a lifetime. God, I'm asking you to anoint him. I'm asking you to open his eyes that he may see every glimpse of truth direct from thee. We believe, God, that you can do all things through him to help us grow in a real, concrete relationship with you. I'm asking you to touch his gift, oh God. Lord, I see people around this circle and they are here for a specific reason. And I'm asking you, God, not to fail them by not answering. We know that you hear us, but we need some prayers answered so it can increase our faith in you. Lord, we beg and we plead and we cry out and we call on your name and you ask us to do so. Now, God, we're putting it back on you. Now bring the deliverance. Bring the power. Stretch out your arms now, oh God. Embrace your children and hold us tight. And never let us go, because if you let us go, you know we will be lost. So we asking for the love and the power of God to continue to be with us. Now, Lord, as we end this prayer, we ask you to touch your manservant. Lord, you have given him a beautiful message as he has studied and opened up the library of heaven. We believe that the wisdom of God can be poured out in him. So use his vessel. He has presented himself as a living sacrifice. So now, God, I'm asking you to take that man and touch him, oh God, like never before, and allow us to benefit from the message of heaven so we can be able to stand strong in these evil and challenging days. This is our prayer. This is our plea. This is our request. Remember, God, that we are looking, expecting a special moment from you. In Jesus' name, let the church say, amen. Come, amen.
Good morning, church family. Good morning to everyone here, as well as all those fellowshipping with us online. Let me tell you something. Since God woke me up this morning and started me on my way, I've been singing thank you, Jesus, all day. Anybody else saying thank you, Jesus? Amen. We ought to be saying thank you, Jesus. He's blessed us and kept us, giving you a home to sleep in, a nice warm bed, and a nice cool environment. Blessed you with a job or income, transportation or a vehicle, loved ones who take care of you and provide for you, healing. So we all should be saying thank you, Jesus, all day. Amen. I want to say thank you to each and every person here that assisted with our backpack Sabbath. I want to thank you also in every endeavor as a faithful stewardship participant here in the Tabernacle of Praise. Thank you to all of our deacons, deaconess, ushers, junior ushers, Sabbath school leaders, Sabbath school teachers, our choir, our musicians, pastor, elders, departmental leaders, those who are praying for us constantly, everyone, our media team, everyone who has done anything, you're doing your job as a faithful steward of using your time, talent, temple, and treasure to forward the work of God. Now, here's a quick question for you. Jesus gave us the great commandment to go ye therefore. So if a church is not going therefore and spreading the love of God, what good is it? If you are not spreading God's love to others, what good are you as his witness? We have another opportunity to witness for God and share his light with others. That's going to be our upcoming annual suicide prevention conference. Prevention is the key word. You know, suicide is no joke. People die by suicide constantly, and it's because they have lost hope. They've lost hope in themselves. They've lost hope in their family. They've lost hope in God. And that is a sad thing, to lose hope in God. Amen. So we want to be God's arms and legs. Get out there. It's going to be September 28th. We appreciate everyone's participation last year. This year, it's going to be even better, and we're looking forward to you helping us out to share God's light with those who are in need, who sit in darkness, and who don't even have a thought of God. And we want to do what we can to help prevent that from happening. And just like if God saved one person, that would be a blessing. If we can help save one person, that too would be a blessing. Amen. At this time, I want to invite our deacons to come forward to lift the morning tithe and offerings. And please remember also, our 12-step program is going strong. It's the fourth Sunday of every month at 5 p.m. Join us online for that. Those of you who join us online, we appreciate you, and it's going to be a real blessing to you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity that you give us to return that which you have first given to us. Bless us, dear Lord, with kind and loving hearts. Bless us to be cheerful givers and not stingy givers. We ask and pray that you will bless us, each one of us, to continue to grow in grace in the Lord, to grow in knowledge and wisdom of the Holy Spirit, that we too can be lighthouses sharing the love of Christ with others. Bless this tithe and offering which will be given, that it will be used for the worthy purpose of going ye therefore and spreading this gospel message to all the world. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Over and over again. Of the Amen. safety. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hold my mule. In his safety. Let me gather myself here. Now we know every time that I have this awesome privilege to speak to God's people, I said I wanted to have a fact. So the fact I have for you today is simply that there are over 75 different varieties of apples. And if you went with that old adage, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, it would take you 20 years to try every one. So that is our little tidbit for today. There was a man. This man filled with the Holy Spirit. A Jew by birth. Spoke Greek. Knew all the statutes. He was a man whom the Holy Spirit gave wisdom and understanding. He would speak with power and conviction that God gave him. When those that were in position learned about this man, the rabbis, the doctors of the law, furious at the fact that this man was not with them, spoke this way against them. How could such power and wisdom come from this man? How could he know the things that he knew? As he was brought to the council and he spoke to the people, the words that he spoke were words that were given to him. Yes, Brother Thomas, I am going to walk a little bit. That's why I made Andre give me this lapel. So, as he went to this council, and he stood and he was able to orate the things of God to the rabbis and the doctors of the law. The Bible tells us in Luke 21, "Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate on what you should answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom with all your adversaries, and they shall not be able to stand against you nor resist it." So as these people who were doctors, rabbis, scribes, Pharisees, those of the law, looked at this gentleman, it was as if they were put on trial for claiming to be the men of God that he was. Not only were they guilty of recently crucifying the one who came to seek and save the lost, not only did they have false witnesses at the trial just to convict him, not only did they try and bribe to get away with the murder of the Most High, they sought to do the same thing to this man. And as he stood there and called them out, stiff-necked people, and let them know that there is a God who sits high and looks low, there is one who knows the beginning from the end, it was as if in Acts 7:55 says it this way. Acts 7:55. "But being filled with the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus stand at the right hand of God." So this man got a standing ovation from heaven for the words that God put in him. This man who was able to give the people of God exactly what they needed when the leaders fell short. Not only did they do that, they hired people because they got away with it once, so who says we can't get away with it again? So they hired people for him to say he said this and he said such and such. They even went so far as to take this man out of the city and stone him with stones. The first Christian martyr, Stephen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity just to come to your church today to hear a word from you. Lord, I ask you to overshadow the iniquities of the vessel and let your word speak through me. Lord, give your people what they have come here, because I on my own have nothing to give them. But through you and your power, let me be the conduit to share with your people what you have for them on this day. Lord, we know that there will be a pool in the grave. There will be a pool next week. So there are some that are sitting today that will need to go down in that watery grave. Lord, we ask you to convict and convert, to give them the strength to stand for you. Give them the power of Stephen to know that no matter where they go, there is no hiding place. These blessings we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the believers said, amen. Our scripture reading for today comes from the book of Acts. The book of Acts. So when you have it, say amen, and we will stand and read this responsibly. We will be reading Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. And as he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven.
And then he fell to the ground, and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
And he said, who are you, Lord? All together.
Then the Lord said, I am Jesus,
and you who are persecuted. And it is hard for me to get the priest. So he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Then the Lord said to him, arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. Amen. Our subject or topic for today is simply, what do you want me to do? Now, I listened to that topic, and I thought about that topic, and I thought about where I'm from. And I'm from St. Louis. So here in St. Louis, when you hear that word, it can be, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
All right.
It can be said so many different ways with so many implications.
Yeah.
This Saul of Tarsus. Verse 8 tells us that he was influential in the death of the man of God. One who thought and sought to go into homes and seek those who were of the way. He went to the priest, chief priest Caiaphas, and said, you know, we've got a problem. And the problem is that I was trained. I had leaders and I had teachers who told me and showed me and I could find and cross every T and dot every I off of the letter of this law. And this man, whom we hung high and stretched wide, we thought we put an end to that. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So as he was high and lifted up, and all men came to him, there still was persecution from those who sought to put an end to what God had said. How do we deal with those who followed the way? Because before you were called Christians, we were following the way. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Saul of Tarsus took lead in bringing those who were following the way. He said, listen here, I know what I've been taught. I know what the pastor told me. I know what I looked at. Sometimes we get so caught up in the letter that we forget about the giver. We know what the word says, but we forget about the spirit of the giver in which it was given. Saul, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day. He could tell you the 2300 days. He could go and spout to you Daniel's prophecy. He knew the book of Revelation. He knew about the comings and goings. Didn't know the giver. There are some people that you would go to and say, well, why don't you tell me about all these things that you know? But we haven't tried the Spirit. You ever notice how when God's people speak the truth, that people tend to get mad at them? You want to go and share what God's wisdom is with someone, and because of something they've been taught, I've heard my pastor say, well, we don't know the giver, so all we have is the man-made promise. When you're sharing that word of God with somebody at your job and you bring up, well, you know, the Bible tells us we shouldn't eat those unclean things. Well, if you pray over it, then that's all that matters. I know you've heard it. I know you've heard it. Well, it says remember the Sabbath, but any one of seven can be my Sabbath. Problem is, I can't make nothing holy. And it tells me that the one who made it holy is the one who kept it himself. Some of us, it was funny to me when I thought about it, how when you want to share God's word, I put myself in that Stephen position where he was thinking that, because I've done it where you're sharing God's word with somebody and as you share the word with them, they're trying to tell you, but wait, and as Stephen said to them, you stiff-necked. Some of us, when we're sharing that word of God, we have to remember who we are. Even Saul, before he was converted and changed, or after he was converted and changed, he told them, seeing you are dull of hearing. I wonder what those words would be today. But there are some of us who are still, when we go to share God's word, we're still half hood and half holy. Yeah, we want to tell them, listen here. I'm trying to tell you something that's going to save your soul. So listen, I tell you what, you don't want to listen to me. You're going to listen to me because I'm trying to tell you the truth to save your life. And we're going to get you there one way or the other. You just want to give them a good shaking, you know, just a reboot the system a little bit, if you will. Wasn't what Jesus had us do. But sometimes that human part of us tends to say, listen, I'm trying to share the good news with you. I want you to be saved in God's kingdom, whether you want to or not. That's the way we think about it. But don't worry, God's not done with you yet. Because I know that half hood, half holy, rears his head up sometime. And he says, listen, Saul of Tarsus was fed up with these people, those ones who knew God, had the Spirit of God, and were able to point out to him his shortcomings. And he said, listen, do you know I have a PhD in theology? I was taught at the foot of. Do you know the prophecy? Do you see? But he didn't know the giver. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I'm sure that when he was there at the stoning of Stephen, which he was so instrumental in, when he saw the man being persecuted, didn't offer cursings. He did what Jesus did and offered blessings, where Jesus is trying to get us to go to. Still half hood, half holy. He's trying to get us all the way over. But Saul saw something in this man that how could he be suffering at our hands and still offer blessings? How could he do such a thing? Who does that? Conflicted in his own mind on what he knew because he didn't know the giver. So what do we do when we're conflicted? Well, listen here, man. We go and talk to our teachers, the ones who taught us. Well, see here, what had happened was, this is how you deal with that situation. This is how you calm down those things that are causing you issue. They went back and showed him, listen, we're doing the right thing. But I think Bible tells us that Jesus said that be careful because in these last days there will be those who persecute you thinking that they're doing God's work. Paul or Saul of Tarsus. For his efforts to kill a man who only sought to save and bring those to Christ, got promoted to the Sanhedrin. So he had to be doing something right in his own mind because he got position, which gave him earthly power. And when we get earthly power with our position, we tend to think that we are untouchable. You see that in the world today. He set about doing the devil's dirty work, thinking it was God's work. Everything glitters ain't gold. Amen. Thinking that these people who go against what I've been taught, against what the teachers taught me, how can they? How dare they? Who gave them the gall and the audacity to stand up to what I know? It's funny how when you get power, it makes you forget your values. some dangerous people who think that they're doing God's work by putting down the people of God. It's almost as if you were to walk out of this church today and you would see someone passing out information that wasn't the information that you think they should be giving out, and you decide, listen here, half hood, half holy. The story I'll tell you. When I was coming up and I was doing Bible Bowl, I knew this book. I had to recite it and do all these things. And I just relished the idea of somebody coming and challenging me on the information that I had. So those two guys that ride those bikes and wear those white shirts and those black pants, they came up to my house, and boy, I was ready for them today. I was ready, I was ready, I was ready. So I invited them in because I was ready for a fight. I wasn't ready to present God. I was ready for a fight because I had some information. And I wanted to share this information with them. Now, when they came in, because normally when they come by, you close the door. I don't want to be bothered with them folk. I don't need that issue, but oh, come on in. I'm ready. Let's go. We're gonna have a good debate here. So we're talking, and the Spirit of God was not in what I was doing. Because my motive was, I'm going to show you because you wrong. You can still have God's truth. But if you present it the wrong way, then you turn the people off. I could know the 2,300 days, but if I tell you, you going to hell because you don't believe like me. But there's a scripture that tells me, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them too I must bring. So as they sat in my living room and we had our discussion, well, it wasn't discussion, it was a shouting match. It was a shouting match. It was no discussion, it was a shouting match. But they came back. Because I had enough information, because they send out the young boys first, the ones who were just getting started. They send them out so that they could get you over to the church. So he came out, and it was two of them. So he said, well, because I told him some stuff that was like, man, okay, I never heard that. So he brought out the elder when he came out the next time. Because the elder, you know, he's Saul of Tarsus, who sat at the foot, and he knows, and he's like, well, we will have a discussion. This time, when we had our discussion, God's presence was involved. Because I knew they were coming, and I knew the way that I handled it the first time was that half hood. So I had to humble myself at the foot of the cross so that I could present the information that God had given to me. Like I said, you could have so much information, and you could have the commandments backing you, and you could have every possible thing that this Bible has to offer, but if you present it in the wrong manner, then it is just like servant of the Lord says, it'd be better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you be thrown into the sea than to offend one of God's children because of the way that I am representing him. So Saul of Tarsus, with letters in his hand, power and authority, newly appointed to the Sanhedrin, decides it's time to eradicate. We've done all we can do in Jerusalem, but these folk have fled to other places. So I am going from house to house to eradicate this infectious disease called the way. And I'm going to make sure that I have the authority behind me. So when they ask, oh, I come in the name of the high priest. I come in his name. I'm not coming in the name of Jesus. I'm coming in the name of man-made power. I think we know something about that stutter in these last day events. I think we should have a general idea of knowing that people will persecute for what you know, for who you are, for what you believe. Just look over in the Middle East. When you don't denounce Christ, you are put to death. But there is a lamb who will begin to speak as a dragon, who will put these same principles into place in this land. Difficult to believe, but history repeats itself. Go check out some of those Sunday blue laws. You think they are fake? That was part of this country's history. It will repeat. Solomon says it. There's nothing new under the sun. So Paul, with his letters, his government authority, goes on a journey with a couple of companions. Listen here, fellas. We got to go eradicate this problem. We got to go eradicate the problem. The problem that these people have. So on this way to remediate the people, convinced by all the people that gave him this power, this earthly power, because remember Christ said there would be no way you could do what you're doing except the Father gives you power. So now he's got all this earthly power and he's just thinking, I can do whatever I want to do because I've got it written down in black and white. And if you go against this, he was going by works of the law, not the faith in the lawgiver. Just like faith without work is dead, works with no faith. They want to stomp out the momentum. Because you know, when Jesus was high and lifted up, that word spread like wildfire. There were folk all over the world who knew about his popularity. Just imagine a woman at the well. She went and told folk just from an incidental meeting. Come and see a man, is what she said. How many of you know that when God gets involved with your movement, there is no stopping it? When the weight of this movement is because God ordained it, who can stop it? Who can stand against it? When God ordained it, there's nothing you can do about it. You can either roll with it or get rolled over. Acts 4 tells us that these men fled Jerusalem because of the fact that Saul of Tarsus was kicking down doors. What you doing in there? I wonder how that would have handled with Daniel in the lion's den. He's probably one of them, Saul of Tarsus. Just we're going to get these folk because they are doing something contrary to what we believe. So the way that we deal with that is the same way, I dare say, when slaves ran away, they did the same thing to them. So Saul of Tarsus, going to persecute the people who are following the way just because he could. And he had government backing. Last day events in this country. I know you came and you wanted to hear some flowery stuff, but I the last day events of this country, of people who think in order to bring God's way, we have to eradicate the people who are not worshiping like us. How many Stevens we have in the room? How many are willing to say, Lord, I love you even to death? Because I know that that is a horrible thing to think about. But what do you think it will come down to? Because Saul of Tarsus was going to put folk to death because they believed in God. So as he travels his way towards Damascus, where the people were leaving the persecution of Jerusalem, because it tells you in last day events, they will flee the city and go into the mountains. So Saul of Tarsus on his mission, going to Damascus, riding, or walking through. We hear he fell off a horse. There's no evidence to say he fell off a horse. So I believe he was walking with his friends. And we're going to go eradicate this problem. So he's walking. And as he's going, I can imagine the walk and the tiredness, the feet dusty. And as he comes through the mountains of Damascus, and he looks over the field, over the prairie, it reminds me of Creve Coeur Lake. You know, when you go to Creve Coeur Lake and you walk that trail, you go through all the valleys and the mountains and the hills, but when you get to one point and you look out and you get to see all the splendor of God, you see the water and the light shine off the water, you see the beautiful trees and the breeze comes across, and it just makes you just want to sit and say, what an awesome God I serve. Just to feel the gentle breeze blowing across the river, across the pond. So Saul of Tarsus, on his mission, walking through, almost in Damascus, just looking over the horizon, he can look down and see the lush fields. He can see the sunlight shining off those magical lakes. And it's just a beautiful scene that he's there and he sees. And he's thinking that these folk who are of the way are in the way. I know what I know. I know what the letter of the law says, and they are not following the letter of the law. They are not following the daily sacrifices. But if you go back and read your Bible, Stephen let them know the sacrifices were cut off in the middle of the week. That's prophecy. That Savior tore the veil when he died on the cross. And when that Savior tore the veil, there was no more need to bring a lamb. But because people were so used to the customs and tradition, they thought we still had to bring the lamb to sacrifice. There was a much greater sacrifice done when Jesus died on the cross. No more need for the blood of bulls and goats. We have a much more perfect sacrifice. But sometimes we don't want to accept that. We know what we've been doing, and we will continue to do what we've been doing because it ain't been working. It ain't been converting, but it makes me feel comfortable in the idea that I am doing something. Even if it's not saving, I am doing something. It's movement with no motion. He and his companions on a mission, determined to eradicate those who follow the Savior. Unknowing to him, The one who said, I know this law. I know the Torah. I know the 2300 days. Unknowing to him is furthering the cause of Satan. I got these Bible studies, and I want you to take these Bible studies with me. Now, if you don't believe what these Bible studies say, we got a problem. That's some of those folk out there. They're not in here. There's some of those folk who will go and present Jesus in such a manner that it will turn folk off, and then they get upset at the fact that they're not bringing people to Christ. You know there's a method to this madness. There is a way in which you can present Christ to others. I think Paul said it this way, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So I could have all the truth, all the wisdom, but if I present it in such a manner that it does not seek to save the lost, it's only for my own personal head swelling knowledge that look at me, I can spout all this stuff, then what good is it? Letter in hand, walking down the road, coming up to the ridge, sees the beautiful city, sees the beautiful stream. It's about midday. I made sure that I drove this morning as the sun was coming up. And I think about this, whenever those folk in the morning are driving eastbound down 70, there's a slowdown. And there's always a slowdown. They call it the sunshine slowdown. Because that sun is so bright in your eyes that you got to put your visor down, you got to put your glasses on, or in the old days we put the blue blockers on because we wanted to make sure we could see where we were going. So it's midday now, sun's in the sky, there's not a cloud around and it's beaming down on you. And as that bright, powerful sun is glistening down and shining on the water and illuminating everything, something brighter happens. I tried to do that with a flashlight to see, can I take this flashlight and shine it in the daylight and see? And it wasn't bright enough. So I tried to get a brighter light and shine it in the daylight, but it just wasn't bright enough. But something about the glory of God. Heaven opened up. The light was so blinding that it knocked Saul of Tarsus to the ground. Blinded by the light. And it didn't happen gradually. This God cracked the sky. Looked down and said, listen here, Saul, Saul. Notice he called him twice, signifying the importance. Abraham, Abraham, Mary, Mary, signifying the importance of it. Why are you persecuting me? Just imagine that light. The light was so bright and powerful that it knocked Saul of Tarsus prostrate to the ground. I don't think you've ever seen a light that knocks you down. You may drive and you may have to put the visor down and look a little, but it never made you pull over and say, I just can't go any further. But this was the light from heaven shining that put him down on the ground. And then, not only was there just the brightness of the light, like the brightness of his coming, there was the voice. Yeah. The voice that calmed the raging sea. That voice that commanded the blind to see. That voice that commanded the lame to walk, made the dumb to talk. The voice that called Lazarus forth from the grave. The voice that was so melodious that it was the voice of the Savior. I can hear it in my ear just a little bit. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That James Earl Jones voice, when you hear it and it's distinguishable, you know that there is something that you are hearing that is very, very important. Come on, musicians. We're here for a good time, not a long time. Acts 9, 1 through 6. Let me read this for you again, show you what it says. It says, then Saul, still breathing threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from the synagogue to Damascus. So if they found any that were in the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, came near Damascus. Then suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kiss against the goads. And he said, and he trembling and astonishing said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Can you see the light? Can you hear the voice? Can you feel the power? Can you feel the conviction? Saul of Tarsus, who was on a mission, thought it was a mission of God until he met him along the way. Fresh with the memory of Stephen's death in his mind that he was so instrumental in doing. The memory of the role of the persecution that he played for destroying God's people. The rage that he felt towards the people who were of the way. The training he received. All stirring in his mind. For every sinner, there is a future. And for every saint, there is a past. He met God on that road. The power of God's Spirit gave him power to see that he was more than his past. He was more than his teaching. He was more. He knew in that moment, it didn't matter where he came from. He was a new creation. He had a new teacher. He had a new purpose. He knew that others would see the old man. But that was of little consequence to him. Because greater that is him that is in you than he that is in the world. He did what we all should do. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When we are so far off the mark, we need God's conviction and conversion. He sent his Holy Spirit just to give us what we needed. And not a moment too late. Because he's always there on time. Then we need to ask this question. What do you want me to do? Are we ready to listen to the words of God? Thank you. song simply says, one look, just one look, one look at Jesus, and my cares will all pass away. Only one look was all I needed, and my life would be forever changed. Then I saw him. Yes, I saw him. And he blessed my soul. And he blessed my soul. And he blessed my soul without a word. And he blessed my soul. And he blessed my soul. And he blessed my soul without a word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity just to come out and hear a word from you. So Lord, we ask the question, what is it you want us to do? Here I am, Lord, send me. I trust your power. I trust your love. I trust where you have me to go. We know that every sinner has a future and every saint has a past. We thank you, Lord, for giving us new direction, for giving us new purpose, for being the one who is the author and finisher of our faith. For these blessings we ask in the mighty and precious name of your Son. And the believer said, amen.
Praise the Lord for that beautiful message. Amen. What do you want me to do, Lord? As I said, next week we're having a big baptism. God is calling, and he wants you to make your calling and election sure. And I want those who have already said, Lord, I'm going down the watery grave next week, I want you to come on down here to the front. Come on, give God a hand praise. Give God a hand praise. We're in the last days now, saints. It's time to stop playing. God is saying he's coming back. Ready or not, here I come. So while probation lasts, the invitation goes out. God says, give me your hand and his heart. So the church, the doors are open to join these people who said, I want to make heaven my home. If that's you, if the Lord is calling you, you've been coming, the Lord has been working with your heart. The Lord says today, when you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. So the invitation is open. Is there anyone else that wants to come and join this group? You may say, I don't know everything about this thing, but I know enough to say, I want to make my calling election sure. We invite you to come. Don't hesitate. We want you just to come on down right now. I know the devil's saying, no, don't come. Don't make that step. But it's never going to be easier than right now. And I just want to, as a general appeal, you said, Lord, I've heard this message. I want you to bless my soul, Lord. I want to answer your call. Here am I, Lord. What do you want me to do? If that's you, I invite you to stand. You want to work for the Lord. You want to be a soldier for the Lord. You want to be empowered to walk and be faithful to the Lord in these last days. Amen. Father God, Lord, we have heard through your manservant your message, Lord. All of us are like Saul. We have gone in ignorance, Lord, thinking we're doing your will, Lord. But Lord, we heard your voice, Lord. And Lord, we are thankful for Mary, for Carlos, for Angela, Lord, who have answered your call. Lord, we pray that you will seal those decisions, Lord, that they have made to walk with you all the way. Lord, we know there's others out there that should have made that decision, Lord, but we pray that your Holy Spirit will contend with them, Lord Jesus. We pray that you will anoint them, Lord, order their steps in your word, Lord Jesus. Now bless us all, Lord, as we commit ourselves to you to be faithful to the end. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand. As we sing the praises to our King. Father God, we are thankful for the word, Lord. Now, as we dismiss from this place, Lord, grant that we will not dismiss from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray.
We sing the praises to our King, for he is the King of Kings. We sing the praises to our King, for he is the King of Kings. We sing the praises to our King, for he is the King of Kings. Give him glory, for he is the King of Kings. Give him glory, for he is the King of Kings. Give him glory, for he is the King of Kings. We sing the praises to our King, for he is the King of Kings. We sing the praises to our King, for he is the King of Kings. We sing the praises to our King, for he is the King of Kings. We sing the praises to our King, for he is the King of Kings. Give him glory, for he's the King of Kings. Give him glory, for he's the King of Kings. Give him glory, for he's the King of Kings. Give him glory, for he's the King of Kings. All hail King Jesus.